Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Oregon will host, presumably, North Dakota State, September 5th, Autzen Stadium. Probably not a full Autzen Stadium. How much will that factor in this game? North Dakota State's play-by-play broadcaster, Jeff Culhane, has got a radio show. I was on his show this morning. He's now returning the favor by coming on this show. How you doing?
John, I'm good, man. Happy to return the favor and jump back on with you here, and hope everybody listening out in Oregon, Portland, staying safe, feeling good, staying healthy. Great to talk to you again.
The idea that, you know, every year Oregon schedules, you know, a Portland State or an Eastern Washington, North Dakota State looks like a different animal to me. Is North Dakota State a different animal, or are we just talking about this should be an easy win for Oregon?
No, John, I think you're right. NDSU is a unique program when it comes to college football. I've had the opportunity to cover two different Power 5 programs in my broadcasting career at Nebraska and at West Virginia, two places that did not have pro sports within the state, and their football programs were the number one shows in town. And got a feel for, obviously, the Big 12 Conference and the Big Ten. And then coming here to Fargo, North Dakota, five years ago, you get that same sense with how the program is run. I can tell you, you know, John, being around the FCS, seeing some of the other programs, you have that feel that you're talking about, where there's not obviously the same matchup, the same funding, obviously, from a financial standpoint, and following with FCS college football. But NDSU is different. North Dakota State's a unique program that has run like a Power 5 program, and their success with 63 scholarships has carried over and translated over in six consecutive wins versus FBS teams. So it is a unique program. They are an FCS team, but they're not your run-of-the-mill FCS program coming into Eugene, hopefully on September the 5th.
We're talking to Jeff Culhane. He is the play-by-play announcer for North Dakota State Athletics, also the program director at 1660 AM in Fargo. You host a show as well Monday through Friday there. I was on your show earlier today. We talked about Autzen Stadium a little bit. I think we're all on the same page in that we don't think if these games are played that the stadium's going to be filled. That will hurt Oregon. Is North Dakota State talking about that at all?
I don't think so right now. No, I think for right now, where we're at today on May 29th, you know, NDSU, the football program, is returning to campus for voluntary workouts. And, I say voluntary with air quotes, right? You know, the football team's coming back June 1st on Monday. So I think everybody's really focused on themselves right now, John. I think the coaching staff, Matt Entz, the head coach, heading into his second year. I think the administration as well. They're more worried about let's get back to campus and get in the weight room and get some semblance of normalcy around the program and around everybody and around the team. And, you know, as far as the crowd potential, who knows what that'll look like in September, right? I mean, look, the reality is it probably will not. I mean, I think it's that's not, you know, stepping out on a limb here, but selfishly, I'd love to see a full Autzen Stadium. I'd love to see one of the best atmospheres in all of college football, and certainly the best atmosphere in the Pac-12. I think to a person, if you ask the players, they would want to see that as well, John. They want to go in, and they want to have the full challenge, to have the full opportunity of going out and playing against one of the best teams in the country in front of a crowded house, a packed house, and a great atmosphere.
Jeff, the the schedule for Oregon lines up that Ohio State falls the week after. It's all anybody's talking about here. Nobody except you and I are talking about North Dakota State. There is a chance that Oregon starts this year focused on Ohio State and saying, look, you know, yeah, okay, North Dakota State's a cute little story. Does North Dakota State feed on that kind of disrespect? Would that benefit them hearing that?
Well, I think what always happens, right, is during the week you – hear all the right things. You know, I think Mario Cristobal, I remember even though spring football was cut short and canceled, Mario Cristobal's first spring football post-practice presser, he mentioned North Dakota State. Look, we're not getting ready for Ohio State. We're not getting ready for the Pac-12 or for Stanford or Washington. We're getting ready for North Dakota State. I know for a fact Mario Cristobal is not taking this game lightly. Can that message be sent to his players? Will it connect? Will it carry over? I don't think we'll find that out until if the game is kicked off, whatever time that kickoff is at, when the boot meets the ball at Autzen Stadium. But no, there's no doubt. Look, I think as a smaller school, even with the success that NDSU has had from a Power Five perspective, there's a perception that FCS college football is not real football, or it's not to the level of what Power Five football is. And I think, look, there's obviously plenty of examples of why that reasoning and thought process is true. But NDSU will come out. They'll be ready to go, and they're going to walk in to Autzen Stadium, and they'll certainly have a chip on their shoulder and have confidence walking into that game, knowing that they've had the success they've had versus FBS teams in the past.
Jeff Colhane is our guest, North Dakota State's play-by-play broadcaster. And, Jeff, 1894, North Dakota, the Bison field their first team. They were known as the Farmers back then. And since then, they've built a powerhouse that has claimed national championship, playoffs, 36 conference titles, bowl record that is impressive, beat some Power Five teams. What's the secret sauce there?
You know, it's cliche, John, but, you talk about culture, right? And how this group goes about their business on a day-by-day basis. Look, being around other programs, being around other Power Fives, around other FCSs, the way this group, the way this football team just goes about everything from a mentality standpoint, day in and day out, is truly impressive. And I think that's why they've been able to sustain the success that they have, even with the target on their backs, at our level. In our division. And look, it starts with the leadership, with Matt Larson, our director of athletics, Todd Phelps, our deputy director of athletics. These guys, they get it. This is a program that is funded very, very well at our level. And then I think also the way the coaching staff here has been able to identify talent in the area and then also develop that talent into NFL potential caliber players. Is a huge part of it. And so the buy-in factor as well, John, you don't see a room of individuals or, five or six bad apples in the bunch. This is a group that is ingrained. It's in their DNA when they walk on campus as true freshmen that this is how we go about our business day to day. And if you're not going to be able to handle that, you won't be around for a long, long time. So the expectation to continue the success that's been laid before a lot of these guys when they get here and to be able to tell their own story of success when they've gone, I think, is what has driven North Dakota State, especially this past decade.
Oregon will want to run the football. They'll want to play defense. Mario Cristobal's got the Outland Trophy winner. Penei Sewell is returning at left tackle. He's got a new coordinator, new quarterback. What is North Dakota State going to lean on in this opener?
Well, I think the physicality in this game is really interesting. You know, as you talk about, Penei Sewell might be the best player in college football at left tackle. And a lot of folks, what we've been trying to ingrain in our fans and our listeners here is that, this Oregon team is not the Chip Kelly Oregon bunch where you're spreading things out and you may not be as be a finesse type group or go up and down and up tempo. I know Oregon will go fast at times, but Mario Cristobal, as we talked about earlier on our show, he's a physical presence. He wants physicality in the trenches. He's an offensive lineman back in the day with the great Miami teams in the late 80s and early 90s. So I think that aspect of it is truly going to be really interesting. The Bison want to run the football themselves. And I think one of the great measuring sticks for an individual in this game from an NDSU perspective, John, is going to be Trey Lance. His hype train has taken off in the last 2 months with NFL draft scouts, experts, analysts, hyping him up in that same conversation with Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields as one of the top quarterbacks in next year's draft as a draft-eligible redshirt sophomore. So Trey Lance in his second year as a starter in college football against one of the great defenses Oregon has ever had is truly going to be something that a lot of people have their eyes on.
The Division I major college football games, the Power 5 games that North Dakota State has taken, evaporate when North Dakota State starts winning those games. If North Dakota State wins this game against Oregon, is it the biggest, win against a Power 5 opponent that they have ever had? And if they get boat raced by Oregon, what does it mean to them?
Well, I think, one, if NDSU beats Oregon, it is the most impressive win in against a Power 5 foe in NDSU football history. There's a conversation piece here where what win is more important, the win over the big boys or the national championships? And you'll have a group of fans on one side say, look, the titles are great, but when we go on the road and we beat the Power 5s and, we own the entire weekend in college football, those wins are more important. Others will say the national championships mean more. You definitely could argue, John, that if the Bison beat Oregon, it's the biggest win in the history of the NDSU football program. If they get boat raced on the flip side, what does it mean? I think fans would, from NDSU's perspective, would be surprised. I don't think it means a whole lot in the long run in regard to what the season could turn out to be for North Dakota State. But the obvious answer is, from the fans' perspective, they would be shocked if a boat race did take place. Oregon obviously is a great football program and a team certainly capable of having one of those types of days.
We're talking to Jeff Colhane. He is North Dakota State's play-by-play broadcaster, also hosts his own radio show there in Fargo. I look on a map and I see that Fargo is about 3.5 hours from Minneapolis. A lot going on there right now. Are people in Fargo talking about that?
Yeah, it's a big storyline, John, and we've all been obviously affected by the coronavirus, right, by the pandemic. It's changed our way of life. It's changed society. And over the last few days in the Twin Cities, what has gone on there has been sad to see. And people want justice. People want answers. And then you see the rioting and the looting and that's also another topic of discussion as well in comparison to peaceful protests. We've also had tragedy, John, just up the road in Grand Forks, where a 29-year-old police officer, Cody Holte, lost his life in a shootout just the other day. The first police officer in Grand Forks, North Dakota, to die on duty in 55 years. So it's been tough, and it's been obviously a huge talking point. You want people to treat each other the right way and be safe. And, it's sad. It's been a sad few days here, and I've got family that lives in the Twin Cities, and certainly you want everybody to make good choices and be kind to each other and be safe. And hopefully justice will be served with the people that are involved here. And the weekend, you'd like to see things really start to slow down and some peace offerings on both sides.
Yeah, I think when I watched the protests last night, I saw the anger and the frustration from the people who were, doing the looting and burning the police precinct.
Yep.
And I thought to myself, I can only imagine feeling that angry about something like this. And I know that, you know, Minneapolis is, you know, and I try to separate it, Jeff. I try to separate, like, hey, can I separate the riot from the injustice? And I can't. I sit here and I go, you know what? If these two things are walking hand in hand right now.
The big thing for me, John, is, you know, I grew up in the upper Midwest, and you watch the terrible things that have happened in our country with race relations, and you see things in Los Angeles, you see things in the South, in other areas of our country. I just never would have thought that something like this would have hit so close to home for so many, and, you know, people that we know in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul. And so it's been a sobering few days. And how do you answer the question of what's right in the reaction? I'm a 37-year-old white man who has no idea what African-American males deal with on a day-by-day basis with that fear or how they feel. And so I can't sit here and say what is what, but, you know, I just know that I want people to treat each other right, treat each other well, do the right things, and treat others the way that you'd want to be treated. And who knows how long that's going to take, because something like this, when you see the death of a man and see George Floyd treated like he was and murdered, it's going to push us back, I think, unfortunately.
Well put. Thank you, Jeff. Jeff Colhane, North Dakota State's play-by-play announcer. I think it's important, especially on a radio show that you know, I position as this is this show's three-dimensional. It's not just me talking at you or a guest being interviewed. It's us trying to probe into uncomfortable places, that there are going to be moments on this show where it's awkward or clunky, or I'm not interested in doing a smooth and clean, let's sound like the every radio show that you heard growing up type of show. It has to be real. Life is that way. Life, you know, black and white. Everybody wants to say black and white. There are so many shades of gray. Life is not that way. And I think what we're watching is, even before me, as I'm talking now, there's footage on my computer as I'm watching a live stream in Minneapolis, that I see people who are angry. I see people who are frustrated. I see people that are obviously in the streets and you know, trying to be heard. And I think the rest of the country's paying attention to this stuff. I know I am. We're talking about it. It matters. I hope that if you are somebody who's listening to this show and you have felt like, hey, you know, that white males live by different rules than you do. For example, on yesterday's show, when Andre called in and said that he, when I asked him, when you're pulled over by a police officer, how do you feel? And he said he starts thinking immediately about, okay, all the ways that he could die in this interaction. That's sobering to me. It hits me like a bag of bricks. You know, if you're going for a run and you're running through a housing development that is just being built and it's desolate, you shouldn't have to worry about somebody apprehending you in that area, or citizens performing a citizen arrest, or you shouldn't have to think about those things. And there are so many conversations that I have heard from people of color who have said, you know, their young sons especially, as they're preparing to, you know, take a trip across the country. All right, here's what you have to be mindful of. If you get pulled over, this is your protocol. It saddens me. It also makes me angry. Is it possible to have both those emotions in the same place? Because I'm seeing it all over the news nowadays. Appreciate that interview with the play-by-play voice in North Dakota. Your phone calls, 503-417-7575. You got the bald-faced truth. Alex Alabama Adriana's graduation celebration is on. If you want to join it virtually, go to the website, AdrianaRocks.com. Or go to BaldFaceTruth.com and just click on the Alabama Adriana section there. It is live. You can buy her a drink. I encourage you to do that. If you're somebody out there that wants to support her, you can send a message as well. She is receiving those messages directly, so you can do that, and you can reach her, and that would be great if you did that and celebrated her. We've only watched her grow up on this show. We've only seen her go through college, work multiple jobs, graduate amid a pandemic. You heard her. You've kind of been here when she's had some tough times, and you've been here to celebrate victories, and I regret that we're not going to be able to have that graduation party. I was interested in getting all of our listeners in one place and kind of letting everybody kind of put her on their shoulders and celebrate her accomplishments. And I know it has nothing to do with sports, but, you know, she's part of the family here. And so if you want to join that celebration, go to AdrianaRocks.com or go to BaldFaceTruth.com and you can see the graduation pictures. And you can send her a note. And if you want to buy her a drink or make a graduation gift, you can do that all there. BFT listeners asked for it. We have created it. And use that if you see fit. This has been a great radio show to this point. It's not been perfect. I'm not aiming for perfect. I'm aiming for meaningful, right? Like, for example, I think America is a great nation. It is. I think we have a great country. But it's a wonderful country in many, many ways, but it's not perfect. You've got access to quality health care that isn't consistent. You've got racism. You've got violence too common. We've got income inequality that we can't seem to get our arms around or our minds around and figure out a way to, you know, make people feel heard. And I thought there was a great column that was written by Michael Rosenberg, formerly of the Detroit Free Press, now with Sports Illustrated. He wrote this column just basically saying, like, we should be paying attention to athletes right now. Because athletes have existed, most of them, across the spectrum. Many of those athletes, they grew up in rough neighborhoods or with socioeconomic background disadvantaged.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.